me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
Isn't it nice that the Beatles did an introduction for this show? Thank you, Paul and Ringo and the rest. Tax season is drawing near, and it looks like we're going to have a little bit of a reprieve from the April 15th deadline, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be getting ready for taxes and filing them, and maybe there's some interesting issues now with the COVID and working from home, Bitcoin, all kinds of new things we have to consider. And with us to talk about the IRS and dealing with the IRS is a WGN regular, Stephen Leahy from the Chicago Law offices of Stephen Leahy and Opum Tax Resolution. He has a radio show on 560 The Answer where he talks about all kinds of issues, and he's one of my favorite people. Welcome to the show, Stephen. How are you?
Well, thanks, Karen. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I got to tell you, I love that Tax Man song.
You do, don't you?
It makes me smile every time.
Your new nickname, and it will be, you will be known forever as the Tax Man.
The Tax Man, that's right.
So let's talk about the IRS deadline is no longer April 15th. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is now May 17th, and that's because May 15th would be a Saturday, so then they switch it to the next regular work week day, and that would be the 17th on a Monday.
Okay, and what you're involved and you deal with the IRS all the time. Is this something just to be nice to the people who maybe are behind on everything because of the pandemic? What do you think the reason is?
Well, you know, there's a report out just recently that they're still behind about 12 million tax returns from last year. So they haven't even finished last year's taxes. And so it's really about the IRS. And also remember, they're the ones that are sending out all these stimulus checks. So they've had their hands full, and most of the IRS employees are working from home. So they're way behind in everything. So while they might be couching it as a reason to help the taxpayer, it's really to help the IRS because they're so far behind in everything.
It's all about them. We all know that. But
yep, it is.
But if anyone from the IRS is listening, I didn't really mean that.
They know. They know they're behind.
They know they're behind.
Everybody I talk to at the IRS, they understand what's going on. You know, last year they paid millions and millions of dollars in interest because they didn't get the tax, your refunds out on time. So that
is a serious problem.
Yeah.
Is there some advantage to filing anyway? I mean, is there some reason that you say you kind of geared up for it anyway and you can file on time? Is that some reason to do it?
You could file and still make and schedule a payment for May 17th. That's what I would suggest that people do. I think filing as early as possible makes sense just to get it out of the way. Most people are procrastinators, and they're going to wait till the last minute. And so they were waiting till April 15th, and then they're going to get till May 17th.
Right.
And so they'll wait till May 17th. And they'll be doing it at the last minute. But it probably makes sense if you started it to finish and then just schedule your payment. You can do this on the IRS, irs.gov, and you can schedule your payment for any time you want. So schedule it for May 17th, but file your tax return as soon as you can.
You were telling me that there was some free apps to file your taxes. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, people don't realize that now something like 94% of all tax returns are now filed electronically. And so you can go to a tax preparer and they'll file them electronically. But you can do it yourself. And if you make less than $72,000 a year, you can go to, and I set up a what they call a tiny URL, and the tiny URL for this is tinyurl.com/WGN free return.
Oh.
Okay, tinyurl.com/WGN free return, and you'll have a list. There's 10 or 12 different companies. Now, some of them have different parameters, but up to $72,000 a year. If you make less than that, you can get it. You can file electronically for free with these services.
Well, that's fabulous. When do you need an accountant to do your taxes? And people ask me that all the time. When do you need a lawyer? When do you need an accountant to file your taxes?
Well, that is a great question, and I think that if you're a W-2 employee, which means you go, most people are W-2 employees, you go to work, they take the taxes out for you, and you never really worry about it, and then you get a refund every year. I don't think you need a tax return, a tax preparer then, unless you have maybe some rental property or some or a lot of deductions if you're doing a lot of investments. But if you're just regular, you know, making W-2 and you're just going to file to get your money back. A couple of years ago, when they changed the rules in 2018 for the 2018 tax return tax year, they made it a lot easier. They have a lot much higher standard deductions, and so most people aren't deducting anything from their tax return. And if you're not deducting anything, it just makes sense to do it yourself. When you should hire an accountant or a tax preparer is when you have deductions, and then these deductions are going to be scrutinized by the IRS. And in order to avoid there's red flags. That one of the red flags is, hey, I did my own tax returns and I got a lot of tax and I took a lot of deductions. And if I can avoid one of the red flags, which is doing the tax return myself and I have a lot of deductions, then it makes sense to hire someone to do it to avoid the audit. And it doesn't mean you'll avoid it 100%, but there's a very good chance that you'll avoid an audit if you have a tax professional do your tax returns for you.
Got it. And we're going to be taking your calls here. We're already getting a few calls. And if you could just hold on, everyone, I'm going to get to you after this next break, talking to Stephen Leahy here, 312-981-7200. Stimulus checks, do you need to pay taxes on the stimulus money?
The good news is no, that those are tax-free. I think it took a lot of convincing to tell them, let's make this tax-free. One of the other things was the PPP loans.
Yes.
If you remember, yeah. You know, remember the PPP loans. At first, the IRS was not going to let you deduct any expenses that you use that on for a business. But they changed that in the last, just recently. And so now all of the, so I got the PPP loan, I used it to pay my employees, and I can still deduct those employees as an expense. It was a big change and a big benefit for business people.
Absolutely. Have you seen people? I know that there's time limits now to for the first set of PPP loans to put your documents together, mm-hmm. to show that you used it appropriately so you can get forgiveness. Is that a process that is kind of user friendly, or is that something that you might need an accountant for?
Sometimes you need an accountant for that, but oftentimes if you're a small business, the key was to keep it separate. Keep that money separate. Now, it might be too late for the first one, but it's not too late for the second. And when they were going into the second PPP schedules, they put a pause on forgiveness. So forgiveness is starting again for the first one. So a lot of people haven't gotten that forgiven yet. But again, it is about accounting. And so a lot of small business people not very good at bookkeeping, right? And that's really the key. It's really keeping track of everything. It's like that with everything. Although I always say most of my clients very good at what they do, they're just not very good at bookkeeping. And then because they're not good at bookkeeping, that's when they put their tax returns to the side, and sometimes for many years.
Quickly, before we take a break, and then we're going to get to some calls, 312-981-7200. A lot of people are working at home, and I know that was not that's something that was easy. People think you can, I'll write off my apartment, or I write off my, a portion of my mortgage. How hard is it to do that so that the IRS doesn't scrutinize you on that?
If you're a W-2 employee, you really can't do it anymore, and that was another part of the change from the 2018 tax year, that they increased the standard deductions, but they eliminated a bunch of other deductions that you couldn't get, and so one of them were these unreimbursed expenses as an employee. You used to be able to take some of that off, and now they eliminated a lot of that. So I don't think most people W-2 employees, most people who stayed at home, won't be able to deduct anything from their home office.
Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to be talking more tax stuff with Stephen Leahy, who has a law office out of Chicago, an open tax resolution. He's also the book of Deal With Your IRS Problems Today, and Steve is going to let you know when we come back how to get that. It's a free book, and it's very informative, and it's in plain English. If people have problems with the IRS, you're definitely going to want to jot this down. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. We'll be right back. Karen Conti Show, talking to Stephen Leahy, who helps people with IRS problems. That's what he does. That's really what he does. He also deals with issues of foreclosure and bankruptcy as well. I know he's been very good to people who have called me from WGN and helping people and trying to get them to the right place. It's not always a representation that Steve takes, but he's really good about helping people, which is what I like about him. Steve, thanks again for joining us. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got some calls, and I'd like to get to them. Great. Are you ready?
Yeah, great.
Okay. Lisa in Galena. Hi, Lisa. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
My question is, my ex-husband did not include me on the last 3 years of our marriage as a spouse. I got hit with a notice for that I owe $47,000 and change. We did my accountant tried several times, actually I did too, to get in touch with his accountant to give me the information to file and produce whatever I need to go ahead and straighten this mess out. He's yet to comply, and this has been over 18 months.
Okay. Lisa, let me do this. I'm going to have Steve give you an answer, and then I think I might have an answer, too, from the divorce standpoint. Not an answer, but at least some guidance. Steve, how would you address this?
Very common, you know, as you know, Karen, when people are getting divorced, that there's not good communication, right? So
right.
It's very common, especially with taxes. And a lot of times that's the impetus of the divorce, right? Financial problems.
Sure.
And people are in business for themselves and they don't share this information. So it sounds like, and again, I don't know from just what you told me, it sounds like that they did what they call an SFR. And an SFR is what is called a substitute for return. And when you don't file a return, the IRS will file one for you using the documents that they had. And that doesn't mean you can't go back and complete your own return. And maybe that's what you should do. Instead of fighting with his accountant, you go to the IRS and you try to work out. Now, I don't know if you were working or if he was working, what kind of work you were doing. So all this matters. You know, it's like every other law case. It's case specific, right? And so everybody's different. But that's what it sounds like in your case. And you could still go back and redo your tax return and fight the IRS in their assessment of the tax against you. They may be wrong.
Yeah. And Lisa, let me just add one more thing to this, and I'm sure you probably dealt with this already, but in a divorce, generally speaking, we as lawyers provide for what happens when there are taxes owed from prior years. And generally, I have a standard provision that says that if taxes are owed for prior years, this is how we're going to split them up. Sometimes it's 50-50. Sometimes it's the person who earned the money that have the issues. So you might want to look at that divorce decree very carefully to see what it says about who is liable for past taxes, because it could be that your lawyer protected you and had him responsible for those taxes, in which case you might still owe the IRS, but then you can go after your ex-spouse to reimburse you for those taxes that you had to pay. Okay?
That's really where I'm at right now.
Yeah. So, Liz, if you should be in touch with your divorce lawyer. If for some reason you aren't and you want to send me that judgment, I'll take a look at it and see if it provides for that. I can probably go right to the provision and tell you what I think you should do on that. Okay?
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you. I don't want to wear orange.
No, you don't. No, I'm gonna put you or hang up, and then Steve is gonna continue to talk. Go ahead.
I just want to point out that you've made a very good point there, Karen, and that just because you make an in your divorce decree, the IRS won't recognize that.
Right.
And so you need to enforce that provision with the judge in your case, not with the IRS, because you can't go to the IRS and say, oh, the judge said I don't have to pay it, because they're going to look to you to pay it. And so you have to work that out with the judge. Again, sometimes the IRS will hear that argument, and as long as there's some remedy coming forth, then they might acquiesce about coming after you. But that's a point I wanted to just emphasize.
Yeah, and if you are getting divorced, make sure you know what the liability is if you can, because that should all be disclosed before you settle. I know people are always interested in settling as quickly as they can, but you've got to have that disclosure because you want to protect yourself in case there's something like this hanging out there. And boy, that was kind of a crummy thing. He files taxes and didn't include her. You know?
Exactly. And something. One more thing, though, kind of similar, and you've, and I think you might talk about this before, Karen, about, you know, when you are awarded the home in a divorce, for instance, and the mortgage company still can come after you for the for the mortgage, even though the judge said, well, you're not that you're not liable for that. It goes to the other spouse. If you're on the mortgage company is still going to look to you. So that's another. It's a very similar issue.
It is a similar issue, and then you have to get that person off the mortgage by refinancing and, and making sure that that person's off. But okay, let's go. We've got a few minutes here. Actually, Steve, can you hang with us into the next hour just a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Verna. Hi, Verna. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show. You're here with Stephen Leahy. Hi, Verna.
Oh, Bernadine?
Oh, Bernadine. Okay.
I never had it shortened that much.
Sorry.
anyhow, it's my question's about the stimulus.
Okay.
And I'm here from Chicago. And anyhow, I'm 78, so I've dealt with a lot of things. And I had everything sent to the bank. Until they changed now, this is the only time I had trouble getting this last stimulus and didn't get it still. And I seen the other day everybody's getting it, and I'm still not getting it. But I did get a letter, supposedly from the IRS, and I thought it was going to be a check because they said maybe they might send a check. Although I've never got a check except when Obama was president.
Okay, Bernadine, you said your issue is that you received a letter and you don't know if it's real. Is that right?
Right, but the point is, after all that they put, I'll try to get to the chase for you. But I says the point is, after they're telling me I shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, but yet at the very end, they have a telephone number that they said, don't if you got a check, don't call. Well, I know that. But they says, if you didn't get one, call. And they says, well, wait 7 days. And you know, so, and then at the very end, I just think, how come I got a number? Can I call that number? Is that real or what?
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Ben, can you put her on hold just because we got a little bit of echo here? All right. So, Steve, I guess the question she's asking is, you know, people get these weird letters. Like, how do you know something's real? How do you know something from the IRS is not just a fake and trying to scam you?
Well, here's the thing. No matter what happens, if you call that number, if they start asking you for money, that's when you know it's not the IRS. The IRS would never ask you for money over the phone, never ask for your bank card or anything else. You know, they may give you information, but they would never ask for payment. So that's the first thing. So that's you might want. And I haven't seen the letter. Obviously, there are a lot of letters that come from the scammers that look legitimate, and you don't know that it's not legitimate. And then, but again, never give money over the phone. That's the key. So you could talk to the, even if you're talking to a scammer, if you're not giving them any money, they're not going to get anything from you, right?
Right.
So never give money over the phone. That's the key.
I just had a question. I know that a lot of people this past year maybe lost their jobs, and maybe they're doing gig stuff. They're doing Uber, or they're delivering things, or working from home, or consulting. Are there some special pieces of advice you would give those people for now? Maybe this is the first time they didn't get a W-2, and now they're going to have to file taxes and pay taxes. And maybe also add to it, Steve, how do you advise people to not get behind on your taxes when you're not having taxes deducted from your paycheck because you're not getting a paycheck?
Well, this is all good stuff because this is what's happening now. People are working as a 1099 employee, right? 1099s are the form that you get at the end of the year that details how much money you were paid from your job, but they didn't take out any taxes. The people who pay the most taxes in our society are 1099 people because you have to pay a self-employment tax along with your income tax. And so this really gets you. Now, what my advice to you is, as you get paid, pay the IRS. You can send a check to the IRS as you get paid, a lot like you do with a W-2. If you don't have the money, well, then it doesn't hurt as much to write it off, right? Most people who are used to getting their paycheck and then spending it because that's what they have to spend. 1099 employees are going to owe some taxes. So take a portion of that 25% and send it to the IRS right away. And that way you won't fall behind and you won't owe the IRS at the end of the year because that's really what's going to hurt you.
And that really takes discipline. I mean, easier said than done because you're right. People
exactly.
look at their budget and they look at what their net income is from their paycheck, and they don't even think about taxes because they can't. It's gone.
Exactly.
And I've seen people get into big trouble, and as you know, Stephen, this is what you do for a living, helping
exactly.
people out of these binds is something that that can last for years and be very problematic. We're gonna have to take a break, but when we come back, there's some things I want to talk about. I want to continue to take your legal questions to Steve and any other legal questions to 312-981-7200. But I want to talk, and we usually cover this topic, Steve, but there are people who don't file taxes and they just do it maybe 1 year and then they go, oh, if I file taxes, it's going to be worse the next year. And then all of a sudden, 5 years have gone by and
exactly.
they haven't filed their taxes. And maybe
that's
they
my client.
Yes.
and
not paying taxes is different than not filing. And we're going to talk about that. We're not going to scare you, but we want to give you an avenue here in case you have this problem and you made that mistake and how not to exacerbate the mistake. So we'll come back. We'll be talking to Stephen Leahy on the Karen Conti Show. Back in a minute. Welcome back. We're here with Stephen Leahy. Stephen Leahy, he has the law office in Chicago, Open Tax Resolution as well. He helps people with tax problems. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us and staying on here. Can you tell our listeners how they would go about getting in contact with you?
Okay, well, you can go to my website, which is chicagotaxteam.com, or you can call me at 312-664-6649. Now I'm on the radio a lot, and I give information. I give that number out a lot, and I tell people if you have a question, call me. I'll be happy to answer it. So don't think you have to hire me before I'll give you an answer.
And Steve means that, and it's a very good thing that he does, and I know that he does it, and that's why I have him on the show, because he is very helpful and helped hundreds of people on WGN with their issues one way or the other. But thank you for making that offer. Let's go to some more calls, shall we? 312-981-7200 on tax issues and any other legal issue I'll get around to. Let's go to Randy in Sherrillville. Hi, Randy. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Karen. I love your show, and I rarely fail. I mean, I fail to miss it. I fail to miss it. So anyway, my question is for Steve. My cousin died about 18 months ago, and the administrator of the estate, non-family, filed my cousin's final taxes to the IRS based on his IRA. My cousin was retired at that point. So the only taxes that we think he had to pay was on his IRA. Well, in the meantime, an accountant has told me that the administrator shouldn't have done it that way. We should have just, the eight cousins should just have inherited the money as is, and then we pay our own taxes, and then we would have done better that way. Can you help me with that?
Well, the answer is I don't know enough about it to know if they did the right thing or not. You're right that generally speaking, inheritances should be delivered before it's taxed. But I don't know enough to say that they did the wrong thing or not, to be honest with you.
How much can you tell us how much it was? Because maybe that'll factor into because you always have to look at cost benefit here of hiring a lawyer, redoing it, however it is seeking recompense. Mm-hmm. Is it a lot of money?
The estate is just a bit over $500,000.
Okay.
And they paid, I think, $120,000 to the IRS.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and that would be the taxes. That would be taxes on the IRA, because IRA is pre-tax, and then when you take it out, it's taxable. You're also correct that maybe if it was distributed first, that the your tax rate might be different than your uncles or your cousins. I'm sorry. First, I want to say I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Well, for some of us, the tax rate would be higher, I'm sure, than my mm-hmm. cousins, and for some of us, mm-hmm. it would be a lot lower. So it depends mm-hmm. on the cousin.
Exactly.
So, you know, like most of these, a lot of the issues that come on the radio, Randy, is if you listen to the show, is at some point you have to make a decision. Maybe someone did something wrong, but is it worth spending the money to undo it or to make the claim or to go after it? Because sometimes you have to pay lawyers to go after the issue, and then that becomes more expensive than it's worth. So that's something that you probably want to sit down with an estate planning lawyer, get the answer to that, figure out how much it's worth, and then make that decision.
Right, and especially now, I bet you the IRS is just completely backed up because of COVID and everything else that's going on.
Absolutely.
With stimulus and blah, blah, blah. It could take a year to get an answer from them as to whether they could even refund that money.
That's when the times are good. It's a year.
Yeah. So, all right, Randy.
I have some processing and old taxes that are taking much longer than a year.
Thank you so much for your inputs.
All right, Randy.
You're welcome.
You take care. We had a caller, John from Lyle, called and said something about Social Security debt. And I think it looks like he was on Social Security and he was overpaid, and now he owes Social Security money back. And you may have some advice for him, Stephen?
Yeah, I do, because this happens a lot with people that they don't, through no fault of their own, they all of a sudden the Social Security would tell them, hey, we overpaid you, give it back to us. Well, if I'm only on Social Security, I'm not in any position to give them money back, usually. And so then they
right.
cut my benefits. Well, if I'm relying on my benefits to live, and then they cut my benefits to pay back some money I didn't even know I was misspending, there are remedies for that through the Social Security, but also through bankruptcy. If it's through no fault of your own, that is dischargeable in bankruptcy like every other debt. And I have filed bankruptcy for people on Social Security who, again, through no fault of their own, paid the Social Security too much, and the Social Security took all of their money on their benefits, and they really needed that money to live.
Of course, of course. And I don't want to let you go without talking about this issue of, if you did not file taxes for one reason or another, whether it's 1 year or 5 years or 10 years, tell our listeners the difference between a failure to file tax returns and failure to pay the taxes owed, and how those two different things are treated differently by the IRS.
Okay, so those are two different penalties. So there's a failure to file penalty, which can go up to 25% of what you owe, and a failure to pay penalty, which also can go up to 25% of what the bill was. And then plus, you're going to be paying interest. And it's not the interest rate that's so harmful, because it's reasonable at 2, 3, 4%, depending on what quarter it is. But it's compounded every day.
Oh, my
goodness. And that's what hurts people. And so there, if you haven't, what I, my first advice to people is always, always file your tax return and try to do it on time. First, that you avoid that failure to file penalty. But also, you start the clock ticking. There are what they call CSED, which is a collection statute expiration date. So after I file my tax return and the tax is assessed, the IRS has 10 years to collect it from me. But if I wait 5 years to file that tax return, now they have 15 years to come after me, right? So better that I file my tax return even if I owe. And if I have unfiled tax returns, I can still file this year's tax return. A lot of people have the misconception that, well, I can't file this year because I didn't file last year. That's wrong. You can file this year. Now you have till May 17th. If you haven't filed in some years, make a goal to file this year's on time and start your compliance. And then I always tell people, as long as we get you in compliance and you stay in compliance, I can fix all the stuff behind you, but you can't fix it if you don't get in compliance with the IRS. I sometimes think they're more concerned with you being in compliance than paying your taxes. Doesn't mean they don't want you to pay your taxes, but they want you to be in compliance.
And not to be scary here, but people have been indicted for not filing their taxes.
So you get 1 year in prison for every year you don't file.
That's exactly right.
And not to
scare anybody, but that's why Steve is here to help. Steve, can you hold on for just maybe 15 more minutes? We're still taking some calls. Give us a call here, 312-981-7200, on any issue relating to taxes, foreclosure, bankruptcy, credit issues, and anything else you might want to have us answer here on The Karen Conti Show on WGN. We're here with Stephen Leahy, who is a tax lawyer. He has Open Tax Resolution, and he helps people with their taxes. Two things I would like you to give out, Steve. First of all, how can people contact you? And then can you also tell listeners about your book, Deal With Your IRS Problems Today?
Okay, so first you can call me at 312-664-6649. Again, it's 312-664-6649. You can visit us on the web at chicagotaxteam.com. And I do have a book called Deal With Your IRS Problem Today. And if you go to freeirsbook.com, again, freeirsbook.com, you'll get a free copy. I'll be happy to give you a copy of the book. And it details all the things. There's six things you can do if you owe the IRS money, and all six of those things are listed in that book, and I go through it in detail. You don't always have to hire a lawyer to solve these problems. I think that was it was very good advice that you were given earlier, Karen, you know, that it's a balancing act, right? Because you have to balance whether it makes sense to hire a lawyer or not. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't.
And can you also give out the... set up some little web thing that will tell you about some free apps to file your taxes free online, and you set that up for us. Can you give us that website again?
Certainly. That's tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/WGN free tax. Okay, WGN free tax. Tax return, I'm sorry, WGN free tax return. And you'll go there. There's a list of 10 or 12 different companies that will allow you to file your taxes electronically for free. And they're all sponsored by the IRS. So they're legitimate, good companies sponsored by the IRS. And that, again, they'll do it for you for free if you make less than $72,000 a year. So that's pretty big.
Yeah, great. Joseph in Naperville, you have a question for Steve Leahy. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was wondering if the state of Illinois has any tax breaks available for those who receive unemployment compensation in 2020.
Good question.
Tax breaks because you received it. Unemployment. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yes.
The federal government, as you know, they tagged the provision on the stimulus bill that exempted $10,200 from income tax in unemployment compensation received during 2020.
Okay, so I got to tell you, I haven't heard that Illinois has done the same. Oftentimes, Illinois does not do the same as the federal government. So I don't know definitively that answer, but I haven't heard that they have.
Now, I noticed the way my tax program plugged that into my return, it took it off my adjusted gross income. And I don't know how that interfaces with the state return yet because they haven't done it. But my adjusted gross income was lowered by the amount of that exemption, $10,200.
And that generally is how Illinois decides what you owe on your IRS, on your Illinois state tax, is based on your adjusted gross income. So you're right, it probably does have an effect on that. But not always, again, because it's a lot like gambling. You know, there's gambling in Illinois is treated differently than the federal government treats gambling. And that has to do with your adjusted gross income also. But I don't want to get too much into that. But sometimes that it sounds like it's there, but I don't know that for a fact. So I can't confirm or deny.
Okay. Thank you, Joseph, and thank you for making us aware of that issue. Let's go to Marge in Chicago. Hi, Marge. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show. You're talking to Stephen Leahy. How are you? Thank you for holding. Hi, Marge. Hi, Marge. Hi. Hi.
Yes.
Hi. What's your legal question?
Yes. I got two letters from the IRS Internal Revenue Service, and then they said to give them a jingle because to verify my identity, I wouldn't get my refund back. And it's from Integrity and Verification Operation.
This is something that's going around a lot, and it's true. They are verifying a lot of these because they've been taken. The IRS have been taken by so many people, and they're handing out so much money to false people that they are sending these letters and asking you to confirm you are who you say you are. So that's probably a legitimate letter. I can't see it, but I would tell you that it is going on out there. I got a lot of calls about this. Actually, we've prepared tax returns for a lot of people, and they've called me and asked us to verify that we are who we say we are. So it does happen. That's true.
Thank you.
Okay, give them a jingle at 7 o'clock in the morning, right?
I don't know about 7 o'clock in the morning, but you'll be, you know, a lot of times you're on the hold.
Yeah, I'm okay, not sure I want to deal with the IRS that early. But thanks, Marge. Let's go to Janine, who's been holding in Naperville. Hi, Janine. Welcome to the show. You have a question about a credit card
thanks
bill.
Thanks for taking my call. I did something stupid. I had a medical bill for $71 that I let slide. And the medical group has sent it so that I got a collection letter on it. Now, I have a wonderful credit score, well over 800, and I've been a patient there for, like, decades. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that I can do to either prevent it from hitting my credit report or have them remove it?
The answer is you can work with them to have that removed, you know, from whoever sent it out. The credit reporting agency is going to report it if they're given it. So first thing you got to do is, right, pay it. Pay the $71. This happens a lot. You know, this happens a lot, though, that people don't know that there's a bill out there, and then it goes to collection. And, you know, had they known, they'd pay it. And then sometimes people who are fighting with their dentist or their doctor, they'll say, you know, that's a false charge. I'm not going to pay it. And then they'll send it to your credit reporting agencies. And so even if I don't owe it, I want to pay it because it's got a more detrimental effect on me than the $71 if I just paid it, to be honest with you.
Right.
Thank you for the call. Oh,
so
go ahead.
Work with the medical group then, huh?
I would call them and let them know that I was very unhappy and then see if they can help me with that because they're the ones that reported it. They can change the reporting.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Janine. Take care. Bankruptcy. You know, a lot of people took a huge hit this last year with losing jobs and these types of things. And a lot of people maybe lived on credit cards for the year and paying bills on their credit cards. What do you suggest as far as bankruptcy? How much do you have to owe to make it make sense to file bankruptcy? Is there a sliding scale, or is it on kind of a needs case by case basis?
Well, I would say there's a sliding scale, but the rule of thumb is if you owe about what you make a year, then you're probably a good candidate for bankruptcy. But it changes from person to person because, you know, what's a lot of debt for one person may not be it for you, and it's really about peace of mind, you know. So if it's keeping you up at night and you can't, I've had people who owe less, like $10,000 or $12,000, but it's making a huge effect in their life. Well, then bankruptcy might be an option. But there's other people, again, that might owe 50 or 60 and it's not affecting their life, well, then it shouldn't matter. Then bankruptcy may not be the right answer. I usually tell people, you want to avoid bankruptcy if you can, but don't be afraid of it also.
And it's not the perfect solution because you do lose things. I mean, if you have a lawsuit pending, for instance, then your creditors are going to own that lawsuit. So you can't just keep that and get rid of your debt. So there's some definite downsides in addition to having your credit take a hit.
I agree. And if you own anything, never file bankruptcy by yourself and get a qualified bankruptcy attorney, because I've seen so many bad things happen to people who didn't know the consequences of filing bankruptcy and also not revealing everything. You have to reveal everything. Everything's documented, so you can't really go around and think that they're not going to find assets that you have, or maybe you've even forgotten about them, but they haven't forgotten about them, and they will find them. So get good representation. If you own anything, be very careful when you file bankruptcy.
We just have a few seconds left, and I want to leave some time for you to give your contact information. But Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and this doesn't apply to a lot of people, but it's an interesting concept, using money that's not real money. How is that taxed, and how is the IRS dealing with taxation on these types of things?
Well, this is the first year. 2019 actually was the first year you could find a question about this on a tax return. And it was found on Schedule 1, which was for other income. And there was a line on there. But they moved that same line that they had last year on Schedule 1. It's now the first question on your 1040 bank tax return. So after your name and your address, the first question is, have you had any dealings with what they call virtual currency? And so the IRS is very concerned about this. They're coming after it. It is taxable. not so much when you buy it, but when you sell it, or if somebody gives it to you for a service that I provide, for instance, or then when I have it, if I use it to buy something, that's a taxable event. So there's a lot of details when it comes to this cryptocurrency. Very interesting. A lot of people don't understand it. A lot of people do it like stocks and bonds, and then they get lost. So I had someone call me, said, for instance, that the IRS said that they made $400,000 in cryptocurrency last year, and the guy calls me and says, "No, I lost $25,000, but the IRS knows when he sold it at what profit, but they don't know what the basis is, and so he didn't report it, and that's what they have." Now you can go back and fix that, but it can be pretty daunting.
Let's get your contact information. Stephen Leahy, thank you so much for joining us. As always, you have to come back again. Stephen Leahy, Chicago offices and Open Tax Resolution. Why don't you give out your contact information?
Okay, so call me at 312-664-6649 or visit us on the web at chicagotaxteam.com. Be happy to answer any questions for you. And thanks so much for having me, Karen.
All right, Stephen. Always having fun talking to you. Take care.